Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's Bud Pod 66, like Order 66 from Star Wars. That is my only 66. Do you have a 66, Phil?
Is Order 66 where they have to kill the younglings?
Or they kill all the Jedis. I think it's the go get the Jedis order. I think that's the content of the order.
Okay. Well,
go get them.
Order 66 is about as close as we're going to get to the devil's number unless we really commit to this podcast.
Oh, how old would we be if we had to do
666 what? Episodes? So it's one a week, 52 a year, 10...
12 years?
Yeah. Yeah, over 10 years.
So we'd have to do it for another 11 years or so.
Poof.
When would that be? That would be 2031's The Devil episode.
By which point the devil will have visited the Earth by now. By then, I mean, he will have visited the Earth. He might as well, you know.
By 2031, he'll be well established.
If he came to Earth, I feel like he'd be upset we got the party started without him.
Do you think, like, when I was really young, I developed a kind of really weird theological idea, because I used to, as we've discussed on this podcast many times, Phil, I like you used to play things like Age of Empires.
Yeah.
And I remembered what used to happen sometimes was I would have an Age of Empires game going, and I would be like, oh, I'm going to go to the kitchen and have a sandwich or whatever, and I'd forget to pause it.
Oh no.
And I'd go and I'd have my sandwich, and then I'd get distracted by a cartoon or a bright light or whatever.
There's a lot going on in your house.
A lot going on in my life. Just like things were happening, a dog, who knows? And eventually I'd be like, I could completely forget what I was doing. And I'd be, I remember being sat watching TV and thinking, oh no, my villagers! And I like sprinted like back to my room. And the game had just been running by itself for like hours. And it was chaos. There were no trees left. The villagers had chopped them all down on like auto zombie wood lumberjack mode. And all my guys were dead and everything was on fire.
Right. Not so different to our world, I suppose.
Well, that's it. I thought God has forgotten that he didn't pause the game.
Did you just return with a sandwich in your mouth, like, God has forsaken this land?
There is no mercy here. The cold universe. Yeah, I was like an 11-year-old.
What have we done?
Oh, my Lord. But how are you, Phil? How's your week 12 or 13 of Britain's half-hearted battle with the virus?
It has been good. It has been all right. I've seen today. I'm. You know what? I think I'm starting to lose faith in our government's reaction to the crisis.
Yeah.
Have you seen they've now reversed the decision on reopening schools?
Oh, have they just gone, okay, we no disease children this year?
Yeah, they've gone, maybe we won't create an army of tiny viral bombs.
Oh my God.
And so now school won't be coming back in full. Primary school won't be coming back in full until the next academic year.
So essentially what happened was they were like, we're going to bring schools back, and everyone went, what about coronavirus? And the government went, oh yeah.
Oh, that's why they were closed.
Oh yeah. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, you're right. Let's scrap that.
I mean, who knows if the real, you know. I think the science that they have cited seems pretty confident that children pose a very low risk, especially to themselves, which I believe. And but even if they've had to reverse this decision simply because schools have zero faith in the government's decision making, you know, it still doesn't look good, does it?
Oh, it's still yeah, it's still a sign of the same incompetence that has led us to have. I mean, like, that's why there were so many deaths in care homes, because the government was essentially just sending coronavirus patients who worked in care homes back to work, and not testing and not giving care homes any oxygen. Or, I mean, that's, you remember how, like, they were saying, like, oh, they're worried about the care homes all being overwhelmed, the NHS being overwhelmed.
Mm.
It's like, well, the NHS can't get overwhelmed if you fucking murder everyone in their care home before they can get to hospital.
Mm.
It's essentially what they've done. It's just a nightmare. But good news, Phil, that you and I both enjoyed seeing footage of, is that the slave trade statue is gone.
Yes, the UK is now officially down one statue of a slave trader.
many to go.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a real boon for the rope industry.
Yes.
How many will need to be made now to pull down the various statues around the UK? Yeah, astonishing scenes from Bristol as the statue of Edward Colston was brought down to his knees and his face and his chest all at the same time, because it's a pretty rigid statue.
Yes.
And thrown into. It's rare that I watch the news on my own and, like, involuntary gasp, but seeing that statue come down Saddam Hussein like in England, that was quite it was startling. It was astonishing.
It was amazing, and watching, like, it was very inspiring as well, because I was watching the footage of them, like, rolling him towards the sea. And it was like a good, like, the people rolling him were like multiple different racial groups.
A university prospectus rolling that statue along the ground.
Exactly. Perfectly balanced statue rolling classes. Oh. And it, yeah, like you say, in England,
representation of bronze people.
and racist slave traders were there. Amazing. Like, the idea, like, I, like many people in the UK, had never heard of Edward Colston.
Well, I'd heard of Colston Hall, because that is the venue in Bristol to get to. It's like their Royal Albert Hall, right? Colston Hall. So if, like,
they renamed it, didn't they?
Oh, did they? Well, people still refer to it as Colston Hall, I think. What's it called?
Yeah, that's. I don't know, but I saw the
lovely man theatre, the lovely nice people theatre.
Yes, no, who paid for this theatre?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, they should just do, I mean, South Africa is where the whole Roads Must Fall thing started.
But what will you drive on? What do you think? Pretty good. Pretty good opener for my Live in Johannesburg special.
You see in this enormous stadium. People just losing their minds. He knows, he understands.
If I ever did a special in Johannesburg, I'd call it Live for Now. What do you think?
Live and Armed is what you could call it.
Live Rounds. Yeah, Live Rounds would be good.
Live Rounds. Oh, that would be a good drag name for me. Live Rounds.
I forgot about our drag names.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, South Africa is where the whole statue thing kind of started, and it got taken to Oxford by, you know, poetically or ironically, a Rhodes scholar.
Ah.
From, I think, University of Cape Town. And now it's a real thing.
Wait, the concept of tearing down statues?
Well, the campaign, Rhodes Must Fall, started in the South African University campus. And then
the whole thing
of, like, hey, have you noticed how racist these statues are, basically?
Yeah.
Because South Africa had some humdingers and still has a couple, I think. I think they're mostly gone. They've certainly renamed everything. South Africa basically renamed everything in the 90s. With a few exceptions. It's like for me, the Edward Colston statue is quite a good example of like the perfect statue to throw into a dock.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just a slave trader who was so rich that his money overflowed. Basically. So it's like, not only is it a statue of a slave trader, the only reason you've put it up is because he was like really good at being a horrifying slave trader.
That's right.
And the statue was put up like 150 years after he died by just guys who were like, remember that guy? No, me neither. Let's put a statue up of him. Like, there's no reason for it to be up. It's just, it just must come across as an enormous fuck you.
Yes. Well, I guess would the reason be that a lot of money went into Bristol itself?
Oh, so, of course.
I mean, because like, on the plaque of the statue, it just read, you know, great son of Bristol and philanthropist.
Yeah, so, which is burying the lead a little bit.
Because,
like, you wouldn't put up a statue. You wouldn't put up a statue of, like, a German industrialist from the 40s, you know? Who used, Jewish slave labor.
Right.
And donated all the money to the local kindergarten.
Yes.
You wouldn't put up and go, Hermann Schnitzel, a great, very cunning the way he made all the money, very smart man.
Yeah. Yeah, so if the Britain's in that, awkward position of having a complicit involvement in various atrocities around the world, but they've always been so far abroad that, yes, you know, yes, that you can kind of cover your ears and eyes over here.
Well, and also, like, the problem that I've certainly had with whenever I talk to British people about the empire is that the empire was so big. I mean, it's the biggest empire in history, a quarter of the world's landmass and a fifth of the world's people, that there were so many atrocities that it seems like too much of a job for them to learn about it. Or even the ones who do try and learn about the atrocities, the kind of liberal metropolitan elites that we hang out with, Phil, even they don't know the ones that I know, or they don't know about the Boer War and the concentration camps, or they don't know about this or that, or like the amount of atrocities is so high,
mm-hmm,
that it's like it would be a GCSE and then an A level on its own, maybe more, a degree.
I have a book called, I'm looking at it now, it's called Britain's Empire by a man called Richard Gott, and it's about all the various like rebellions and atrocities of the British Empire, and it's so big I've not started I can't start reading it. It's just so big. I had one glimpse of the first page, and it's like that really small font and margins, and it's a huge book. It's like I don't have 3 years to read this book.
Well, that's it. You feel like you have to have 3 years to read it, and you know it will be like a horrifying journey. Like, it's not like, oh, well, it'll make me feel so cheerful and motivated. The reward is sorrow and knowledge of sorrow, which is a pretty pretty wrinkly old carrot compared to the stick of doing it. Yeah.
Instead, I'll just watch Michael Portillo's Empire on Channel 5. Although, in all earnestness,
is that a real show?
It is. I watched a couple episodes, and you know what? It's pretty good.
Well,
it's surprisingly good.
I'm sure it's high quality, but I mean,
he's a really balanced guide. He asks all the important questions. They look at every side of the empire's involvement in like India and Jamaica and stuff. It's good. It's surprisingly good.
The main thing for me with the statue thing is that, like, so they pulled down the statue, and then I saw loads of people saying in the media. That loads of people saying, like, oh, they should, you know, they should go through, like, the channels, the proper channels to remove it, you know? And I thought, oh, that's true. And then I looked it up, and it's like, there just aren't any.
Also, people have been trying to for decades.
Yeah, like 20 years, and there's no official, like, there's no fucking statue hotline. You could just ring up and go, "Hi, I've just noticed at the end of my street there's a statue of a mass murderer. Is there anything we could do about this?"
Very quiet. It's very quiet on the other end of that hotline, the statue hotline.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Just a statue of a guy holding a phone.
Our hot statues are waiting for your call.
Are you stiff? We are.
But initially I thought, okay, maybe there's a reasonable channel, but it's literally just all they've been able to do for 20 years is write a letter to the council saying, could you get rid of the racist statue now? And they've gone, oh, it's very late when I'm reading this letter. Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
After 20 years of that, fair enough. Pull a full-on Saddam Hussein and throw the fucking thing in the sea. Absolutely. Good on you. I mean, the alternative is like you say, like, okay, maybe you can edit the statue. And they tried to edit the plaque. That was the thing they tried to do, is put up a plaque that said, wonderful son of Bristol, great philanthropist. By the way, he murdered 30,000 people. But then they blocked that as well. But for me, you were saying about the who gets removed next or whatever, and lots of important figures have got very controversial pasts and have said terrible things.
Mm.
For me, it's not so much about tearing it down, it's about what it gets replaced with.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about this a lot yesterday, and I think I don't mind the removal so much as if it's going to be replaced by something else that helps the nation become cohesive. The national myth is important, you know.
Right. Wait, so...
If you're going to say a statue is too divisive, you can't replace it with a statue that's too divisive the other way. You can't just put a giant Karl Marx head on a stick.
Which
some people we know would like, to be fair.
Which I think some prominent online communists have actually, like, suggested, which is fucking mad.
Oh, yeah. But basically, that's like any time you ask them any question, their answer is just statue of Lenin, you know.
But, the slippery slope is an oft-disregarded argument in things like this, and I understand... that impulse to disregard the slippery slope argument, but there is a question here. If you tear down the statue of, say, Winston Churchill, who did some terrible things but also some pretty vital things, I mean, Gandhi's in the same square. Do you take him down for considering Kenyans lowlier humans or
black South Africans? Yeah,
or. Or beating his wife, or sleeping with his little niece, you know. I mean, where does moral purity, how far does it extend to? And, you know, I think there are cases where the answer is clear, but there are cases where the answer is not.
Well, that's what Sadiq Khan has said.
What did he say?
Sadiq Khan said today, basically, they're going to... Basically, Sadiq Khan's argument's pretty good, where he said exactly the same thing. He said, yeah, Winston Churchill, but also, like you say, Gandhi and Malcolm X.
Did he say Gandhi?
Yeah. I mean, Gandhi's anti-black thoughts are pretty well documented, plus the whole thing about his relationships with various women and letting his wife die of an illness without letting her have medicine, and then getting the same illness and then having medicine...
Really? Gosh, I didn't know that.
You know, Ahir used to have a whole bit about how, like, absolutely horrible Gandhi was in his private life, certainly. Anyway, Sadiq Khan was saying, like, yeah, that's the kind of, like, complex person kind of thing. But when it comes to slave traders, it's pretty pretty clear-cut. We don't need to have statues of them. Like, if you're going to have anything, have statues of slaves, or have statues commemorating... the slave trade in a way that is horrible, but not like a nice guy in his wig with his little coat on.
No, absolutely.
You could do some good, like, there's lots of very moving statues about horrible things without it being the perpetrator. Yeah. I wonder.
That is true, because you have... instead of having a statue of the perpetrator, you should have a memorial to the people that affected. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you have memorials to the Holocaust. You don't have statues of Hitler around to remind us of the Holocaust.
Yeah, you don't have a big statue of Hitler, and then the plaque has to be changed to say, "Oh, he's bad, by the way. He did the bad thing."
Yeah, yeah. You can't have sort of aspiring artist and pioneering vegetarian. Also,
anti-smoking campaigner.
Oh, was he a big against smoking?
He banned smoking in public places, I think, in Germany.
Well, well, well.
He was obsessed with, like, yeah, smoking and health and not eating meat, and he had this whole, yeah, he was very obsessed with that kind of thing, good health.
So when, in the early 2000s, people accused the smoking ban campaigners of being Nazis, they would have been correct, technically.
Historically, yeah, in the same way, like, anyone who loves German shepherds.
What German shepherds? Are the German shepherds Nazis?
Well, no, like, the Nazis loved German shepherds. Oh, Hitler had a pet German shepherd who he loved very much.
Oh, I just thought they were an inherently racist dog.
Well, they do look it.
They do look it.
They're an angry-looking dog. They're scary. And I had one as a kid, and even I think that.
Wow.
It's because they're always the most scary police dog.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, they're the dog of the oppressor, aren't they, the German shepherd? By no fault of their own, really.
Yeah. Well, they're the dog of the oppressor, and also, like, they're the dog of, like, the scary dog in, I think, aren't they in GoldenEye? There's a video game where German shepherds come and try and get you.
Oh, I think they're in Red Alert. They're terrifying in Red Alert.
Yes, Red Alert, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my word. Ooh, yeah. But yes, I enjoyed seeing the statue rolled into the docks. That was funny.
That was dramatic stuff. And
dramatic and overdue, even without the 20-year battle with the fucking council or whatever it is. It's some kind of guild that owns the land. They were like, it's like medieval times. They were trying to battle a guild, an evil guild.
Oh, really? Like a statue guild?
There's some kind of guild based on the, it's like a merchant guild, and they have like property rights or final say over what happens to loads of the land around there, apparently. So they're the ones who blocked the changing of the plaque. So it's not even democratic.
Interesting. Shadowy.
It's one of those, it's those weird like British things where it's like, and the third merchants of the Golden Hand have the rights to feed pigeons on this skyscraper.
Yeah.
Just like 1700s leftovers, yeah.
I wonder what the city will do now with the statue. Will it take it out of the bay? Or will it have to leave it there?
It would be quite good in a museum posed upside down so you can see where it was torn from.
Right.
That'd be quite cool.
With the graffiti on it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a good monument to social history.
But is even the act of retrieving it be an affront?
Maybe it would. You'd have to publicize the retrieval well in advance. Did you see that those guys tried to get it back out?
Which guys?
A bunch of like white dudes with dodgy tattoos and shaved heads.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah.
God. Play to type, why don't you?
Yeah, a bunch of dodgy-looking white dudes came and tried to rescue the statue, and they couldn't.
How?
I don't know, ropes or something? They're, like, diving in there, and... I'm sure it's heavy. I mean, it took, like, 11 people to roll it. Never mind lift it up with a rope. I mean, that thing must weigh an absolute ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Statues are, like, is there anyone... Who is there even a statue of who's like more modern than even like, so what, when was the last time people got made statues? World War II?
Nah, it's like Eric Morecambe, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but they had to like crowdfund that for years.
I swear,
clown statue.
The only people they've made statues of since the war have been footballers and comedians.
And then that short-lived one of Michael Jackson.
Oh yeah, gosh, where
that
was
really
that
terrifying looking one?
Where was that?
That was outside Fulham Football Club, wasn't it? Because he was like on the board of it.
Michael Jackson was on the board of Fulham. What, really?
Yeah, that's a very lucrative thing for rich Americans to invest in.
Gosh, pretty I sure no he was. Idea.
Let me check this. Michael Jackson. I mean, it's not the most surprising thing Michael Jackson's done in his career, Phil. I'll be honest.
That's true. That's true. I mean, of all the things, I shouldn't be most shocked at that. It is, but it is weirdly by this point in his legend the most surprising element.
Oh no, that's what it was. You know, that's what it was. You know, Muhammad Al-Fayed.
Yes, I remember the name. Al-Fayed. I don't remember quite what he did.
Muhammad Al-Fayed is the father of Dodi Fayed, who Princess Diana died with.
Yes. Yeah.
And he used to own and run Harrods.
Yes. I didn't know this.
So Muhammad Al-Fayed was the one on the board of Fulham Football Club. Yes, he was the chairman. That's right. That's the word. I don't know about ball games. And Michael Jackson was his mate.
Oh.
And following Jackson's death in 2009, Al-Fayed commissioned a statue with a plan of siting it inside Harrods.
Wow.
After Harrods sailed, the new Qatari owners didn't want the Michael Jackson statue. Surprise, surprise. And he arranged for it to be placed outside Craven Cottage. Oh, my word. And it was removed in 2013.
Imagine if the main concourse of Harrods just had a huge Michael Jackson statue. Harrowed, more like.
Well, yeah. That was what I was meant to remember, because in terms of getting rid of old horrible slave trade names and things like that, obviously Bristol pulled down the statue, and then there has been statue pulling and destruction and removal in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Various former Confederate cities. And that's all good and proper. But I'd only realized this the other day, because yesterday when the US Army released a statement, two of the biggest US Army bases in the United States are named after Confederate generals.
Really?
Fort Lee and Fort Bragg. Like, that's the enemy.
Oh, Lee as in General Lee.
Robert E. Lee, yeah.
Robert E. Lee, yes.
But like the US Army.
Was that like an olive branch to the defeated South?
Well, it's probably like just a bunch of people from the South who have to be reabsorbed, who are like, I've got an idea for a name. And everyone else there was from the South, so they went, oh yeah, good idea. I mean, like, that's insane, because it's just like, that is the enemy. That is who the US Army had to fight against. There's not Fort Bin Laden. It's not like, you're going to be going for basic training in Fort Hussein. Fort Saddam Hussein. Which we've named after our former enemy, because for some reason that's the thing we do. It's just two Confederate generals. I couldn't believe that I never made the connection.
That is peculiar.
And they've only just released a statement saying, yeah, we're going to take a look at it. Because for years they've been like, no, we're not going to change it. We think it's brilliant.
Mm.
Imagine being like a black American soldier and being stationed in Fort Lee.
That's true.
Ugh.
Where is it? Where is Fort Lee?
Where is Fort Lee? Fort Lee is it in... Fort Lee... Oh, no, that's the city, Fort Lee. Fort Lee military base. Yeah, it's in Virginia.
Virginia. Mountain Mama.
And Fort Bragg is North Carolina. Dear me.
Yeah, there was a...
The largest military installation in the world, Fort Bragg.
That's quite the brag. True to his name there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I hope Sadiq Khan does rename the London slave trade streets, but with good new names.
Yeah.
Like names of interesting, like, don't just rename everything fucking Smith Street or...
Yeah, or like Daniel Bedingfield Lane, or, you know. Yeah, pick someone good, yeah.
Oh my god. You imagine the That's like the perfect way to make everyone angry.
Just Greg Wallace Avenue. It's like, what's the logic behind these names?
It's just people I think are good.
I just kind of like them. I don't know.
I just like them. That would be the deal to make sure that everyone in the country was angry to differing degrees. You were going to rename all the streets and take down all the controversial statues, but we're going to replace them with like D-list television personality statues.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what the country deserves. This is who Britain is now. Britain is Britain is an enormous bronze statue of Greg Wallace doing a thumbs up. That's who we are as a nation.
Have you seen the photos of him trying his hand at a fitness video? A fitness
Is that those weird photos of him like in little shorts in his own garden?
Yeah, just doing a crouch and grinning horribly at the camera.
Because he got in the news for losing weight.
Right, yeah.
Which is more rare for a dude.
To get in the news for losing weight than for a woman to get in the news for losing weight.
Yeah, it's rarer. It does happen. It's happening more and more. Soon we will all be shamed.
Equally.
Equally shamed. For equal shame for equal people.
Yeah.
That's my theory about where there's a version of gender equality where we get the worst of both worlds, and I hope we don't go there. But it's like, right, now enough men have anorexia and women don't talk about their feelings, so there we go.
Right.
Everyone's learned from each other now. Everyone's ashamed and no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
Whereas what would be nice is if no one had eating disorders and everyone talked about their feelings, but...
I can agree with the first half of that sentence, Pierre, but I honestly don't want to live in a world where everyone talks about their feelings. I feel like we're close enough to that point already, and it's intolerable.
Well, that's the trouble, is that we're in the arts, and so we're surrounded by feelings talk pretty much 24/7.
I think there are plenty of industries where, you know, the fewer feelings shared, the better. But I mean, this is my Asianness coming through, my Chineseness coming through.
Well, you're entitled to your cultural.
I sound a lot
expression.
Like my dad right now. Yeah. At least I sound a lot like my how I presume my dad would sound if he shared his feelings.
Yeah, you've already failed your dad's test.
Yeah.
I'm so angry about all these feelings. Oh man. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is that we're in the arts field, so we're on the cutting edge of the old feelings train.
That's true. Feelings are our bread and butter, I suppose.
Have you ever tried to talk about like social issues at the level that we do in the arts with people who don't work in the arts? It's like you're talking to them from a different planet.
Yes,
and like we're so deep into it. Most people are busy.
It's true. People with jobs don't have time to troll Twitter for the hottest takes, and you know, and come up with positions of their own that are so detached from the original argument that they're basically about a different subject entirely now.
Have you here's an interesting question. Have you done any explaining in the last week or two of protests and Black Lives Matter and so on?
To who?
To confuse white people? Has anyone got in touch with you and said, Phil, you're not white?
No, I've not really been going out because of the pandemic. And no, I've not offered...
No one sent you a little DM?
No, not really. I mean, the Chinese, the East Asian experience is quite unique, really. I don't think I'm seen that way. This is the problem with the terminology of people of color, because that technically it includes East Asian people, but our lives are very, very, very different.
Okay, that's interesting, because I've done some explaining.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Phil.
To whom?
Some confused white people I know.
Uh-huh.
They've messaged me about stuff to do with South Africa that they've seen in the news, or in one case it was just someone I know who was like, "What do you think about such and such an issue here and there?" And like, just and so I've had an interesting week or two of taking someone who works an actual job and so can't afford to sit and do all this reading through the issues as best I can, which feels weird.
Okay.
But that's it felt good, you know?
That's a real vote of confidence from those people.
Yeah, that was a real compliment. But it also felt good to be able to in one case they showed me in this there was a different person, but then another person sent me a thing which happens from time to time. Because the right wing in the West are a bit obsessed with South Africa, and they use it as a lot of as an example for various things and evidence for various things. And someone sent me a screenshot of some, you know, mad claim about South Africa, and they were like, "Is this true?" And that happens quite a lot,
right?
They're like, "Is this? Does this happen? Is this true?" And it's like, "Well, no, basically no."
I guess maybe in your case, people are not so much asking for your lived experience, but you are like an in-depth reporter. You're an investigative reporter for the South African experience.
Well, I'm just the only South African they know. That's probably true. More likely.
Yeah.
The least scary one. But yeah, my lord, what a week. Another week of demos and reading and donating for us all.
Yeah, the demonstrations got pretty intense in London. Did you see the footage of the riderless horse? The riderless police horse galloping through a smoking city like we're in the fucking Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it was very cinematic, the whole thing.
Yeah,
very cinematic. I have to question the idea that like a load of screaming horses will calm down a crowd.
Yes, I've never quite understood the logic behind police horses.
It's not like a petting zoo where it's like, oh well, if we let the protesters feed the horse a sugar cube, you know, it will calm them down. It's nice.
Is it just about getting? Like, is it just about gaining height for the police?
I think it's just that, like,
it's just quite intimidating.
Yeah, people just fear animals. It's like a tall, really strong animal that you don't know if it's going to smash you in the face with a hoof. I don't know. It's really. I mean, I fear them already. I don't like horses. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Because my name is Greek for lover of horses, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
you were named ironically. It was like Little John from Robin Hood.
Yes.
You came out and your parents were like, "God, this baby already we can tell hates fucking horses.
Let's troll him."
Yeah, exactly. Yes, they got there was the horse thing. What was the other thing? Do you see the Australian news reporters that were running away as well?
No.
They got like surrounded by a mob in London and had to like flee.
Oh, I thought in Australia. Yeah.
No. They're in London.
No, a lot of the reports from the London protest, you know, you hear the reporter going, "Oh, sorry, let me just get out of the way here. Sorry. Let me just get to safety."
A very British like version of a riot, which it's like, yeah, gives everyone enough time to go, "Oh, excuse me. No, just going to have a bit of a bit of a Barney here. Oh, no, no problem. We'll just move over here." If I reckon, here's my position. You're allowed to charge a load of horses through a crowd like that, as long as 2 weeks ago you charged all those horses through everyone on the beach ignoring the rules.
That's interesting. I don't think hooves do well in sand. I think you'd have to...
come on, horses running along the beach? That's a motivational poster we've all seen.
Of course, so it is. It's also like a Lloyd's Bank, the TSB advert, isn't it? No, you're right.
Yeah, it's that weird advert where they're like, "We're a horse and a bank. The sea's nice. Have a loan."
In my mind, a horse standing on a sandy beach would just sink into it, and you'd have to pull it out like a croquet hoop.
No, I think you're allowed to charge groups of rule breakers with horses as long as you do it equally. I mean, they charged
That's
all the
true.
Like. Lovely, young, diverse people, but like all the VED, like the VE Day celebrations were the most shallow excuse for breaking lockdown I've ever fucking seen. Whereas a bunch of bored fucking village white people who'd never even heard of V-Day.
Yeah.
Suddenly, like, let's touch each other's faces. It's what the troops would want. And then on all the lovely sunny bank holidays, the beaches were, like, more busy than they would even have been normally. Charge a horse through that.
Yeah. No, you're right. That'll be fun. To watch, just watch a village conga line get plowed into by a phalanx of stallions.
Just seeing a cavalry charge break up a brawl of burnt, bald English guys on a beach.
Just a black mare hind kicking a barbecue.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see that? I mean, there even was a brawl on the beach.
Yeah, I saw that. Fucking hell.
I mean, like, they say we're supposed to be able to go back to pubs in a couple of weeks. It's going to be like fucking Game of Thrones.
But it is heartening to see that even when they aren't allowed to travel abroad, the British tourist can start meaningless brawls here at home. Mallorca's loss is our gain this year.
It's true. It's something about... Do you think it's like a uniquely British symptom of heat stroke? It's like, I've been in the sun for so long, come here, and they just immediately start
British,
fighting. Because
the British body is so not used to getting hot that it presumes it must be angry.
Yes, I'm red, I'm uncomfortable, my skin hurts like someone's hitting me.
Hulk smash!
It's like when little kids get too much sugar, if you get too much vitamin D.
Yeah.
It just triggers like the rage zombie virus.
Vitamin destruction.
That's right, that's what it's...
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that the horses thing was dumb. I don't know why that was deemed to be a helpful activity.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation where I thought, you know what would really calm me down? Being clattered to pieces by a cavalry.
It was dramatic though.
What's like when they charged the student, like the student fees protests with a lot of horses as well? In like 2011 or whenever it was, 8 years ago. I don't even remember when.
Yeah.
It's just loads of people with, like, hats they knitted themselves being hit with cavalry.
Well, it's because the British police don't have guns. They need something. Otherwise, they're just people. Otherwise, it's people other people hats. Telling you to stop doing that. Yeah.
Our police do look like office workers wearing stab vests compared to American police.
Maybe the compromise is just to keep the height but lose the horses and just... give all the Met stilts. Maybe it's just stilts.
Like they're all street performers now.
That's right. And if you think a policeman's particularly good at their stilt work, you can put a little money in his hat.
Yes, we meant to say that when we talked about the FBI guy being falsely arrested, that's not what it is. What was it again, Phil?
Yeah, in last week's episode, we told the story of this viral clip of a black American man being apprehended by some police who mistook him for a suspect they were looking for, and it turned out he was an FBI agent. That's not strictly true. After some digging and fact-finding, he wasn't an FBI agent. His ID simply showed that he wasn't the person they were looking for. And also, I think it was filmed last year. But... not to say that it wasn't still embarrassing for the police, but we didn't want to be spreading misinformation on our podcast.
Yes, it was still profiling, but it was not this year and of an FBI agent. It was last year and of a guy.
Because the truth matters. The truth matters.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeedy do. I'll say keep an eye out for... I just checked, Phil, to see if there was some kind of like... because the police are going after the statue guys. I just checked to see if there was some kind of like legal thing. I saw a lawyer on Twitter say, "Oh, I'll happily represent these guys for free," which is good.
Sure.
But no charges have been laid yet. But keep your eyes out, guys, as I will for any kind of like funding, GoFundMe or whatever for if the police actually bother to fucking arrest anyone for that.
Yeah, it would be Well, it would be. The optics wouldn't be great.
Yeah, I mean, they
to use
they ignore violence. Enough other crimes. Why can't they just ignore this one?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So keep your eyes out for that, and stay safe.
Yep. Stay safe. Try and be happy and do things that make you feel whole. I don't know if you
yeah,
want to keep
that's
that
good.
In.
It's nice to. That's like the most wholesome thing you've ever said, Phil.
Do you think? Maybe. Okay, maybe that's why it made me squirm a little. I've been meditating. I just meditated and I've gotten into scented candles. So this might be the
new emotionally vulnerable Phil.
Oh, I've always been emotionally vulnerable, just never emotionally expressive.
Yes, no.
That's the real vulnerability.
I'd prefer. Yeah, if you're gonna do one, you have to do the other one. That's the new rule for new Phil.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Well, I wonder where we'll be next week when we
talk to you
again.
Hopefully, somewhere less horrifying.
That would be a boon. Until then, have a lovely
week, guys.
And
bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.